Welcome back to Left, Right and Centre. Tensions continue to escalate in Bangladesh after India objected to the denial of bail for the Hindu priest Chinmoy Krishnadas Brahmachari. Clashes in Chittagong have resulted in one death following protests against the sedition charges. Demonstrations have spread to Dhaka, with political leaders in India condemning the arrest which has taken place and have urged for minority safety. The BJP has been holding protests in Kolkata. The Congress has issued its concerns as well. I'm now joined by the senior Congress leader, Dr. Abhishek Manu Singhvi. Thanks, sir, very much for being with us. Do you believe, Dr. Singhvi, that the situation in Bangladesh is progressively spiraling out of control?
I think that's more or less fair comment. I think my criticism, condemnation of Bangladesh is severe, but I wouldn't hold the Indian government blameless either. And let me explain to you, Vishnu. This is a very serious issue. It is serious enough to find this Mr. Das handled like this. It is serious enough to have the victim actually being punished and denied bail. It is serious enough to have other deaths in the last few weeks. But that is only a very small part of the story. Bangladesh is our immediate neighbor. It is now being riven by sectarian violence. We tend to forget that this is a minority population of Hindus alone of about 8%, 1.3 to 1.4 crore persons. There are other minorities there. Now, unfortunately, that's where I would start with my condemnation of the Bangladesh. A hate for the Awami League has transformed into a hate for India and unfortunately a further hate for Hindus. Now, that is an incredible equation. It's an unacceptable equation. And forget India, it can lead to implosions in a country like Bangladesh itself, which, by the way, broadly since its creation in 1971, with some minor aberrations, has been a much more balanced, inclusive, secular culture than our immediate Western neighbor.
Yes.
So it is, I think, a very serious matter, especially for India, since we are a geographical neighbor and we cannot alter that fact. And this is simply your visceral hate for Awami League becomes your visceral hate for India and in turn for Hindus, which is a ridiculous situation.
Sure.
Now, as India is concerned, I said I wouldn't hold it blameless because, you know, you can get all the kudos and all the snapshots and all the optics when you go around all the world to in your foreign policy saying India is a Vishwa Guru and India is reaching out everywhere. Well, you had to do something prior to the Awami League's fall and then certainly in the interregnum of the last few months after its fall. That was the time for hard-nosed, very clever and very strategic diplomacy. To that extent, you are not blameless. Nobody's saying it's intentional. Nobody's saying that we, you know, want this kind of thing to happen. But then somewhere there is a failure. And it can be a very costly failure because you've got China breathing down your neck on one side. You've got other powers. Of course, you've got Pakistan. You can forget about Pakistan. But even otherwise, you have so many other geopolitical factors here that the government of India's diplomacy and its efforts, I'm not going into details, whether you know, hurry in which you gave refuge to Hasina, how you handled it, how your communication abilities were, how you articulated your stand, all of this going to a mix which is called foreign policy and diplomacy.
Do you believe Mohammad Yunus, the interim leader, is not in charge?
Absolutely. Even his most ardent admirers will not, virtually they will say in public, this is a puppet. He was picked up in circumstances which were designed to make him a puppet. There was a vacuum. Nature and politics both abhor a vacuum. So a pliant, pliable, accommodative, controllable puppet was found. He's a decent man by all accounts. In fact, I met him here in some official function, though I don't know him well. He's a very moderate, sober person. But today, the position which he's in, he can neither be his natural self, because he'll be virtually assassinated, nor can he speak his natural language, inclusion and accommodation and carrying everybody along. And he is being led by diehards, not of the even of the interim council. But there's a diehard group out there which goes partly in the interim council and partly, you know, in the erstwhile elements of that other party, Khaleeda Zia's party, which believes, and possibly not wrongly entirely, but that's not the answer, which believes that Hasina has kept them out for too long. So they want retribution. They don't want loaves and fishes of power. They want retribution. And he's neither here nor there. He's like a, you know, completely a rudderless person.
All right, Dr. Singh, I think you raised some really important points, and I'd like to thank you very much for sharing those with us, Dr. Abhishek Manu Singh, the fourth-term MP, you know, one of our finest lawyers, a senior advocate in the Supreme Court. Thanks very much, sir, for being with us. I'm joined by Major Razaul Karim from Bangladesh, Arfatul Islam, he's a multimedia journalist, Salim Samad, a senior journalist again from Bangladesh, and India's former High Commissioner to Dhaka, Veena Sikri. Ambassador Sikri, to you first. What has happened has happened. What can India potentially do now, if anything at all, through diplomacy, to try and deal with this enormous vacuum which exists in Bangladesh, you know, from a political standpoint and certainly from the standpoint of protecting minorities in that country?
Well, you know, I think first we have to say that, of course, Professor Mohammad Yunus heads the interim government. And such as it is, the interim government or caretaker government, its role is to only have elections. But I think the problem began right from day one, right from the 5th of August when Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina left the country, that the attacks on the minority community started. Absolutely unsolicited, uncalled for, without any rhyme or reason. And they were of a nature that could just not be ignored. They included rapes and killings and destruction of property. And then after that, there was attacks on the economic livelihood. And this has just continued, attacks on temples. Even the Durga Puja was held, but then there were so many instances even during that. So with the result that our Prime Minister had even spoken to Professor Mohammad Yunus about it, written to him about it, spoken to President Joe Biden about it, but it hasn't changed at all. And the attacks on the minorities have carried on to such an extent that even President Trump felt obliged to talk about the chaos in Bangladesh, the barbaric nature of the attacks on the Hindus and the Christians. And so it is clear that this is something which is being organized. Chief Advisor Mohammad Yunus does not seem to be in control. He's probably the Jamaat-e-Islami is in charge. The absolutely Islamist parties are in charge. The Hizb ut-Tahrir is in charge. So maybe they're the ones who are doing this. And they're all the people who are being attacked are being told, leave the country, sure. Leave the country. But the younger generation among the minorities, they have taken a stand. They said, no, we are citizens of this country. We want to stay. We want our rights. And they have made an 8-point demand to the interim government, asking for a protection of the minorities, a law for the protection of minorities, a ministry for the protection of minorities, and, you know, that all the perpetrators of the attacks should be arrested and charged, and judicial justice should be provided. Yes. But nothing of this kind has happened.
No,
and
no, it's just not getting
worse and worse. And the person asking for all this has been put in jail on sedition. So I think that we have ourselves, you know, looking at it very seriously. We've seen the note put out by a government yesterday, but the reply from the interim government was completely off the track, completely different, saying this is an internal matter. But how can you see when you have these large numbers of protesters, hundreds of thousands, and you see the police attacking them, you see the Islamist groups attacking them, how can we not take a position?
Okay. So let me just go across to Major Razaul Karim. Major, the worry over here in India is that, you know, people who've been so close to us culturally and otherwise seem to be anti-India in this vacuum that finds itself. India is not your enemy. I mean, it's India is a partner nation. There are incredible relationships. Is that a huge concern that India in somehow or the other is seen to be some sort of enemy of Bangladesh?
Yeah, thank you. Very, very good questions. And I really thanks you for I'm really expecting this kind of questions from NDTV. Actually, yes, for last couple of years, since the army government formation, we had been noticing that anti-Indian sentiment is rising in Bangladesh. So this is the biggest concern right now. And the reason of this is during the army period, the army Sheikh Hasina regime, there were some incidents, there were some gesture to the common people of Bangladesh by the army government was a bit different, as you have observed before. So thereby, our local Bangladeshi people, they were building such sentiment that Awami League is favoring Awami government is favoring their own party members, and that they're seeking help from India specifically for the Awami members, not for the common interest of Bangladesh. And Awami League is fulfilling the purpose of India, which is actually not. But Awami League was behaving, their action, their activities was as such that India has become the victim of that circumstances. Actually, India, any country like India, will get any favor. So it's not the fault of India. If Bangladesh would have been getting such favor from Indian government, Bangladesh would never deny that. So sure. Same in case of India, as India was getting certain favors from Awami government, India is not supposed to deny that. But on the other hand, what happened? Our Bangladeshi common people, they had been growing anti-Indian sentiments amongst them. Yes. And which is the result, as we can see right now, especially in case of the Chinmoy Krishna Das and also the ISKCON.
Yes.
ISKCON is an NGO-based organization, and their purpose was very good. Their sentiment was actually reawakening the love for Sri Krishna or reawakening the love for the God. This is really a very good idea. But why then this reaction is happening in Bangladesh? The reason is, after the 5th August, basically the mindset, the disbelief, the loss of trust on the government, and also the loss of trust towards them too from the government.
Okay, let me just go across to Salim Samad. Salim bhai, the role of the police is obviously critical in all of this. If there isn't effective policing, and it's not the boots on the ground, it's actually the leadership of the police, then the law and order crisis, because that's the biggest immediate crisis in Bangladesh, can never be resolved. In terms of ordering or governing the police, or for that matter, the Bangladesh army, who's really doing that?
I didn't get your question.
Who's in charge of the Bangladesh police or the Bangladesh army?
Bangladesh army is like Indian army. So this is totally a different entity. You cannot ask an army to do policing or day-to-day law and order situation. That's impossible. You cannot ask the Indian army to walk into Calcutta and look into the sectarian violence or wherever in Manipur. So Indian army, obviously Bangladesh army doesn't want to get involved in any of the law enforcing, because they are trained for law enforcing and crowd controlling.
Sure.
This is exclusively a policing issue. So the FF, and you have to understand that majority of the police has left their post after the 5th of August because of the massive killing and deaths and injuries of the thousands of students. And of course, 40,000 has been already admitted in the hospital. So obviously, there is a lot of anger against the police. So the police is not trusted. Even I don't even trust the police. Nobody goes to the police station for filing a complaint because they know it is they are corrupt. There is a lot of change. And 60% has been rehabilitated, and 40% have vanished. They are all underground, and there are many cases against them. So there is a lot of... So it is actually the people. The people will have to... The political parties will also have to act for maintaining law and order situation. And if you're talking about the anti-Indian issue, BNP only yesterday even the Jamaat-Islami also said that they want to have a bilateral relationship with India, want to continue the relationship. And obviously, if you have heard Professor Yunus talking to the Indian media, not Bangladesh media, but the international media like India, mm-hmm. he had already spoken to 18 of the Indian media. And everywhere he mentioned that it is India and Bangladesh will have to work together.
I've interviewed him as well, and he said that same thing to us. But we see this situation on the ground. Arfatul Islam, who's triggering the violence or the attacks?
I want to add one point with Salim Samad.
Just give me a second. Yeah. Arfatul Islam, who is triggering the attacks against minorities in Bangladesh? There have been so many attacks, not just against members of the Hindu community, but other communities as well.
I think what I see is clearly, like even in your question, that there are a lot of misinformation and disinformation campaigns have been happening. And in most cases, or in many cases, we are in a way far from the reality. Basically, mm-hmm. Many of us are making decisions based on what we see on social media. We don't try to cross-check what is exactly happening on ground. For example, Professor Yunus several times said all the medias, international media, Indian media, Bangladeshi media, that come and see yourself, make your own judgments, make your own reporting and see what is actually happening. But what I see that there have been a lot of campaign going on, mostly based on misinformation and disinformation. And we are not trying to deal with facts. We are most trying to deal with opinion by some influencer who are very, very, I mean, who have like influencers on social media, especially on Twitter and Facebook. So I see that there is lack of information, there is a gap, and we are not trying to fill this gap. So to fill this gap, one needs to go to the ground and try to see themselves what is happening there.
So are you denying that these attacks have taken place? That there have been
cases of rape and brutality, members of the Hindu community
have had their houses, if not looted, then burned down, arson essentially?
No, I'm not denying or accepting anything. I'm asking you the source of it. I mean, the information that you are giving, what is your source? So check your source. Is it
the source is people on the ground giving sound bites saying that their houses have been burned down?
Who are these people and who did this?
The people whose houses were burned down, it's been reported internationally. Why be in denial about that? I can understand your question or your point about let's be careful about the scale, about the scale of what we are talking. But I think it is important to understand that these attacks have taken place.
There is lack of information, what I'm saying, and you are not getting information from credible sources. So if you have your own reporter, you send him, her, there, they can check themselves, and there is no issue with this. So we need to make our opinion or questions or everything based on credible information, based on credible sources. So I see a lack there, that there is a lack of information and there is a lack of credible sources. So we don't know what is exactly happening, and we are making our opinion based on sources that are not reliable.
Salim Samad, do you agree?
I fully agree with him. He's absolutely right. Even the Indian fact checkers are also debunking most of the news that is being, I mean, broadcast or under Indian media. But is equally also true that, for example, like Ambassador Veena Sikri has a conspiracy theory that this government that is into here doesn't have Dr. Yunus is not in power. This is a conspiracy theory. And the Jamaat Islami and Harkatul Jihad or whoever, or they are in power. You do have an evidence. Like Arafatul Islam has said, that Veena Sikri has one evidence to prove that Dr. Yunus is not in power, the Jamaat Islami is in power. I mean, that's one big example. Thank you.
Ambassador Sikri,
well, may I first of all talk about two points. One, I fully agree with you, Vishnu, when you say that they are in complete denial. In fact, it is the attack on the media that is being talked about globally as much as the attack on the minorities. And the global committees on the journalists are saying that there are hundreds of journalists in the last 3 months who have been taken away from their jobs, who have been removed from the channels, who have been put into jail, who have been accused of murder. So the attack on the media is a huge factor of what is happening. And that is why there is no information available. But I think that you are quite right to say that those people who have suffered, they are the ones who are talking about it. And to tell my friend, Mr. Salim Samad, that as far as the role of the Jamaat-e-Islami and the Hizb-ut Tahrir is concerned, you can see that the members are there. They are advisors to the government, the head of the Hifazat-e-Islam, who is a member of the Islami Andolan Bangladesh, the person who's now been sworn in as advisor, who is said to be by all, one and all, to be a member of Hizb-ut Tahrir. They're now as advisors to the government. So it's not that I have not a shred of evidence. I'm just talking about the facts on the ground. And this is an opinion that I don't share alone. I think everybody who's writing about Bangladesh globally, I'm not talking about just India, they are come to the same conclusion based on what is actually happening. And maybe there is some global disappointment with the role of Professor Mohammed Yunus because they thought that he would be much more in control. And he assured our Prime Minister that he would be able to control these attacks on the minority communities. But whether it's a Buddhist in Khadrachari, whether it is the Hindus in Chittagong, whether it is the peaceful march in Rangpur over the weekend, all these have been attacked. And you cannot be in complete denial about this.
I just want to list a couple of these incidents. And, you know, I'm sitting in a studio. I can't independently corroborate this now. But this has been corroborated or written about by India Today, by the Hindu, by international agencies as well. At least 10 Hindu temples were attacked on the day of the resignation of Sheikh Hasina. An ISKCON temple in Meherpur in the Khulna division was vandalized. Other temples like Kali temples were either defaced or attacked. The ISKCON temple in Meherpur and other temples, I mentioned that, have been attacked as well. As part of a broader, and I'm just talking about places of religious worship having been attacked. Major Raza, in your opinion,
I want to answer you. Actually, the list of temples destruction, as you have mentioned, nowhere you will find any incident that any member from Jamaat Islami, any member for BNP is involved. Rather, it is found, especially in Faridpur, a Hindu people who was involved destroying the temple. And I'm sure Salim Samad will be agreeing with me. Mm-hmm. So actually in Bangladesh, what happened, the fact is related with lack of trust. Actually, the moment after the government was changed, we saw the reaction from ISKCON and Hindu community, mistrust on the government. They whimsically thought the government is not in their favor. I will request Indian government, I will request Indian Foreign Affairs Committee, they should come to Bangladesh, they should seek cooperation, and also Bangladesh government should sit with them.
Sure.
And we should establish the trust for the Hindu community. This is mostly related with mistrust. Actually, the incident, everything is
irrespective
happening.
Irrespective of trust or distrust, there are numerous incidents and reports which have come in of people being
attacked. Now I'm answering about Chinmoy
Krishnadas. Let's see what happens. The fact is, he's not been granted bail. No, there are actually serious charges of sedition against him. So let's see how the legal process works out. Okay, look, I'm only interrupting because I'm out of time. Major Saab, I'm out of time on this program right now.
I'll leave this by 10 seconds. The arrest of Chinmoy Krishnadas, actually, people are not very convinced. The reason is that Chinmoy was arrested because he was spreading false propaganda that thousands of temples were broken, then Hindu peoples had been persecuted. These were the false propaganda which had been spreading through Chinmoy. And
all right,
also
we'll see what the truth finally emerges. We'll leave
How do you accuse an organization like ISKCON, which is globally known for its social welfare work and its work regardless of religion and community, and they are now being called a radical fundamentalist organization in the courts of Bangladesh?
It does sound a bit ludicrous. Look, I have to wrap this up over here. We'll revisit this topic again. I'd like to thank you all very much for being with us. We're going to take a short break at this stage. There's a lot more coming up.